Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. If you thought I was ambitious before, we are going to try to get the whole chapter, and I have 10 points. Amen. So let's get started. I want to use verses 1 through 9 as the introduction, and then we'll go through verses 10 through 31 as we attach those to the 10 points that we have tonight. So you're going to have to write quickly. The words, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy of his mother, taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, for it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes drink a strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those who be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the case of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And all God's people said, Your Heavenly Father, bless the word tonight to our hearts. Open its truth to us. Impart your wisdom to our foolish lives so that we may glorify you in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen. Real quickly, as a way of introduction, it is a mother who teaches her son three things here in these first nine verses of Scripture. Number one, she tells her son to beware of women. Beware of women. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Not everyone has a desire to do us good. There are those who have desire to do us evil and bad. And this mother is telling her son, don't think that all women are there to do you good. They are there sometimes to do you bad and to pervert your ways and to destroy you. So beware of those kind of women. Then she tells him to beware of wine. She says, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go before a drunk judge. I don't want a drunk doctor. Amen. There are things that are important that need to be done in a sober mind. And so the mother says here, don't get drunk and then forget the law, forget the principles, and then pervert the judgment, give bad judgment on someone else that will ultimately be accountable on your part. So beware of women, beware of wine, beware of words. She encourages her son to speak, not to be silent, but to speak. And she wants him to open his mouth for those who can't represent themselves. They can't come to their own defense, and they are appointed to destruction. She says, don't be silent. Open your mouth and judge righteously, no matter who it is. Judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. And then, the rest of the chapter, we have this instruction of a virtuous woman or a wise wife, a wise woman or a wise wife. And we have all these characteristics that make up a wise woman. And I want to share those with you tonight quickly. Number one, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. We've been talking about wisdom and trying to bring into our lives the wisdom of God. And the proverb here says that a wise woman is a rarity. If you have one, you need to thank the Lord. If you're looking for a wife, this is the kind you want. And she's rare. There's plenty of women, right? There's more women than there are men, right? Is that the statistic? There are more women than there are men. But a wise woman is a rare thing. A virtuous woman is a rare thing. The Hebrew word here, virtuous, refers to purity, but much more than that. It refers to a person who is strong in all moral qualities. There is, according to the proverb here, a great difficulty in finding a woman who is strong morally and also fears the Lord. That's the kind of woman you want. One who fears God. One who loves God. One who is intent and concerned about obeying and pleasing God. And because this kind of woman is rare, the proverb says she is worth a price far above rubies. Unmarried men need to search for this kind of woman. And those who have a woman like this need to highly value. She is a very rare thing. And because she is so rare, she is worth much. A wise woman's rarity. Number two, verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Not only is a wise woman a rarity, but here we see a wise woman's restfulness. There is rest for the man who has this kind of woman. Now, I've always thought these Hollywood type, you wonder if they get any rest because they got to be wondering, maybe this is the day she leaves me for someone else. And you have all of these things going on. But if you have a godly woman, if you have a wise woman, then the man can rest because he trusts her. The idea here that he safely puts his trust in her. He has all he needs in her. And he doesn't need to seek anyone else. It says here, he shall have no need of spoil. Why would a man need another woman when he has a godly, wise woman who he trusts? She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will be faithful. And he can expect a certain attitude. He can expect a certain behavior from her. And he will never have to worry about her doing any other thing for him but good. There is restfulness in this kind of virtuous woman for the man. And that is in itself a blessing, is it not? That you can lay your head down on the pillow and rest in a virtuous wife. Number 13, verse 13 and 14. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. A wise woman, a virtuous woman, is a rarity. A virtuous woman, a wise woman, brings rest to her husband. A wise woman is resourceful. The wise woman here is not an idle woman. She is not a woman that is always seeking some sort of excitement or some sort of pleasure or some sort of change. She fixes and repairs, and here probably makes, the clothing for her family. Her focus is on her family and not on excitement. Her focus is on her husband and her children and not on pleasure and change. She seems to be an expert at buying food. In our day and age, she would go to the store, but she would be a person that would compare prices and knows what's on sale and where the bargains are. She's able to make a dollar go far. She doesn't just consume, but she contributes to the welfare of the family and to the household. She is resourceful, and she makes sure that her household has what they need, even if it means that she gets up before everybody else while it's still dark and prepares breakfast and lays out clothes and does whatever is needed for her family. That's who she loves, and that's who she cares for, and that is her calling in life, and she uses all of her resources for them. It is a remarkable woman, isn't it? She is a rarity. She brings rest to her husband. She is resourceful. Then look at verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the staff. Here we see a wise woman's riches. Here's a woman that sees opportunity. She sees a field, but she doesn't just see a field. She doesn't just see land. She doesn't just see grass, but she sees an opportunity that land can be planted with a vineyard, and that land can yield fruit, and that fruit can be sold, and that money can come back into the family. She's always thinking about whom? The family, her husband, her children, the welfare of the family. So she sees a field, she buys it, and she plants there a vineyard. She is a hard worker. She is not afraid of physical labor. Her labor makes her fit. It strengthens her arms. And she girdeth her loins. She's not afraid to do this manual labor. Whatever needs to be done, she's willing to do. She is not one that lays around and is served. She's one that actually is doing the serving. She is the first one up, the last one to go to bed. She was always thinking of ways to financially contribute and help the family. A wise woman's riches. I remember my grandmother. My grandmother was married to my grandfather, and he did a lot of drinking and a lot of carousing and a lot of running around on her. And they didn't have a lot of money, but she would walk probably close to a mile to where they had cows, and she would milk those cows, and then she would sell that milk, and she would churn that milk into butter and sell that butter so that she could have money for her three daughters. Those kind of women are rare. They are remarkable. She works, she labors, she does what she can to help financially in the family. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. This wise woman is a rarity. This wise woman is restful. This wise woman is resourceful. This wise woman has riches. This wise woman is responsive to the needs of others. The hands that labor day and night to help meet the financial responsibilities of her home are not hands that are tight and stingy. They are hands that are eager to take the little bit of money that she has made and to be generous with it to others who are in need. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. In fact, it seems here that her tireless labor for her family was also seen by her as an opportunity to help others who were less fortunate. She is a woman that constantly thinks of the needs of others. She constantly thinks of the plight of others, and she's always trying to devise ways that she can help meet the needs of those who are less fortunate. Fortunate than she. This is a woman who has a heart that is eager to give, and she has hands that are eager to give. This is not a stingy woman. This is not a selfish woman. This is a generous-hearted woman. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Number 6, a wise woman's readiness. This virtuous, wise, godly woman has among her many qualities the quality of foresight. She is able to look ahead and see what will be needed and meet the need for the future today. She's not afraid of the snow. What does that mean? That means that while the husband and the children may be bringing in the harvest of the summer, she knows what the future brings. She knows that cold weather is coming. She knows that winter is coming. And because she has already thought of these things and thought of the needs that will be there in the winter, she readies her family for the winter. She readies her family for the future, and she doesn't frown at the snow. She smiles at the snow. She's not afraid of the snow because she's already prepared her family for the winter. She has prepared her family well, for they are well clothed. They are clothed with scarlet, not only fine clothing, but appropriate clothing for the weather. She prepares her family for the cold winter to come so that they have the proper clothing. They have the proper shoes. And she clothes them in quality materials, and they are protected from the elements. While they may have not had one thought about winter till the first snowflake fell, this virtuous woman had been thinking about it long before, and she has already prepared her family for it. Some of us who are very short-sighted need far-sighted, long-ranged people to help us see what may happen. A wise woman's readiness. Verse 22, 23, 24, 25. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known at the gates. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. This virtuous woman, this godly woman, is a rarity. She is restful to her husband. She is resourceful. She is rich in providing for her family. She is responsive to the poor. She is ready for that which is coming in the future, and she is respectful or respected. Matter of fact, I would say this. It seems like the writing of the proverb here seems to imply that although all of her work and all of her effort is given mostly for the family and for others, that has not caused her to avoid taking care of herself. She has a beautiful external appearance. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She has this radiant, beautiful external appearance. Yet her real beauty is not external, it's internal. It's the beauty of her character, the beauty of her attitude, the beauty of her meekness. And she is well respected. And she causes her husband to be known. Her husband is known as the husband of this respected woman. How proud he is to have her as his wife. And when he sits at the gate with the elders of the land, he is known because of her. She has the respect of everyone who knows her. She is applauded and she is approved by all those who really, truly know her, because they know her character. They know her fear of the Lord. They know her efforts and they know her desires. She is respectful and respected. Verse 26 and 27. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. This is number 8, a wise woman's rightfulness. When she speaks, when she opens her mouth, out comes wisdom. She speaks wisdom. What she says should be listened to, not ignored. Say amen. She does not speak harshly, but when she speaks, her words are spoken in kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. So she speaks, when she speaks wisdom, and she speaks it in the form of kindness. She speaks what is right. She does what is right. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eats not the bread of idleness. So she speaks the right thing. She does the right thing. She tends to her household. She advises the household of the right way to go. She's not idle. She's busy speaking and busy doing that which is right. She's not perfect. But she is striving to do that which is right. Verse 28, we're almost done. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. This is a wise woman's reward. As this poem, as it is in the text, it's a poem, as it comes to a close, those who are near her, those who know her, begin to praise her. It begins with her children. Her children arise up. It moves to her husband. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. It moves forward to the broader community in the following verses that we'll look at. Because they see her for who she is. She is an excellent wife. And she is an excellent mother. She's an excellent grandmother. The idea here is maybe in our day and age, it would picture one who is calling attention to those that are assembled together and clearing his throat to make a toast, or the crowd leaping to his feet in a thunderous standing ovation. What her children do when they arise is they bless her. If you have a mother that fits this character, bless her. Praise her. They call her blessed. The word means to pronounce one blessed or happy. It's never used of God's praise for another, but only of man's praise. She has come to enjoy the benefits of having reared wise children, reared the benefits of taking care of her husband, and really that's the only reward she wants, is the love and the gratitude and the thankfulness of her children and her husband. Number 10, verse 29, 30, and 31. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is a wise woman's renown. Not only is she praised by her family, by her children, by her husband, she is praised by others outside of the family. She is known as one who does things with excellence. There are many daughters who are virtuous, but this woman is better than all of them. She has excelled all of them. And the greatest thing that she's known for is that she fears the Lord. You see, this kind of woman is not made naturally. This kind of woman is made by the Holy Spirit. This is a born-again, Holy Spirit-dwelt woman who by the grace of God and by the revelation of God has come to fear the Lord and receive the Lord as her Savior. She is known for what? She is known as a woman who fears the Lord. She shall be praised. And everything else is empty, and everything else is fleeting, but the fear of the Lord is lasting. Listen, you marry a woman, you listening? You marry a woman for her beauty, beauty goes. You marry a woman for her ability to work or do this or do that, it goes. What doesn't go? Her fear for the Lord, if it's genuine. Amen? She is known for her unselfishness. She, in the hustle and the bustle and the noise at the gate of the city where most of the commerce and most of the trade and the judgments are happening, she is not gone unnoticed. At the gate of the city, she is praised. She has left a legacy to all. And that's the kind of legacy I think that godly women leave. Not legacies of accomplishments, not legacies of success, legacies of fear of God. When I think of my grandmother, I think of a woman who feared the Lord. When I think of my wife, I think of a woman who fears the Lord. When I think of many of the women here, I think of women who fear the Lord. That's the legacy you want to leave. That's the legacy that will count. This is a virtuous woman, a godly woman who fears God, who has had her eyes open to the things of the Lord. She's rare. But she does bring rest to her husband. She is resourceful. She uses her riches for the family. She is responsive to the poor. She readies her family for that which is to come. She is respected for her character and for her truthfulness. She is often speaking wisdom, and she's right in what she says and what she does. She is rewarded by the praise of her children and her husband, and she is renowned in her own community for who she is. She is a God-made woman. And they are wonderful. And with that, we come to the end of an almost 3-year study through the book of Proverbs. And I hope that it has been beneficial and good and honoring to the Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. We have been almost 3 years looking in detail at these words of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And I trust as we have spent so much time and we have made so much effort to see these things, and as you have been so kind to reveal these things to us, that we have been changed. We have grown wiser. We have put away some of our foolishness and replaced it with the wisdom of God, because we have spent the time in your word. We thank you for it. We thank you for what you have shown us. And we ask you that you would continue to bring it to our minds and to our memories and to our hearts, that our lives from this day forward would be lived much wiser than they have in the past. For your glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.